you are and are becoming Jesus. I'll explain on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, this is Mike Keller. You are now listening to Key Life, where the Bible becomes relevant to your daily life. If you have a Bible, get it. And here is our teacher, Steve Brown.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible and you're in a place where you can thumb through it as I give you some text, you might want to do that. I am, after all, a Bible teacher. Most of the time we go through books of the Bible on Key Life, and we are even now in the midst of a break from our Old Testament survey. But during this mini-series on pain and suffering and God and Jesus, I'm just referring to a number of texts, and as we go along, I'll be bringing up those texts as we talk about it. Now, we're talking about good news. We spent a couple of weeks on the bad news of the fact of pain and suffering as we looked at a fallen world. We looked at our own sin, the very nature of things. Something, we live in a dark world, C.S. Lewis said. It's the hidden planet. It's the planet that is really dark. And when Jesus came, he came into a dark place and he was light. But you got to face the darkness, or the light doesn't mean anything. So we spent a couple of weeks on that. Now I'm just talking about good news. Really kind of great teaching from the Bible that God loves you a lot and that his love is unconditional. It doesn't require you love him back. We suggested that pain and suffering always has a purpose. Romans 8:28 is true. That you will get it through or get through it. Paul said to the church at Corinth that that there's no test given to you that isn't common, and God will give you with the test a means to get through it. We saw that you're not alone, and right now we're talking about the fact, still good news, that you're getting more and more like Jesus. And in fact, you are, in a sense, and it's metaphorical and symbolical, but it has a reality to it, you are becoming Jesus. I am crucified with Christ, Paul said in Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And then we looked at 2 Corinthians 4:8 through 11, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. That's why we go through difficult times. 1 Peter, that we rejoice to the extent that we partake of Christ's sufferings. 1 Peter 4:12 through 13. The point is this, if you have never suffered, it's hard to see things from the perspective of those who suffered, and it is particularly hard to see things from Christ's perspective. Now, we're going to talk more about this later, but Christ did this for us. He identified with us that we might identify with him. Eric and I were talking off the air about how the one unique thing about the Christian faith is that God does not remain aloof. That he has suffered as we suffer, not to keep us from suffering. That he died not to keep us from dying. We're going to die, but to die as we must die. He identified with us. There, and I probably told you about it before, this is a story that Carlisle Marnie used to tell about the wet plaster on an unfinished men's room at the University of Texas. And somebody, I guess, who had been really hurt and gone through a really tough time, had written in the plaster, God has cancer. And Carlisle Marnie, when he would bring that up, would just rear back and say, you know, God has had cancer for a very long time. That's what the crucifixion is about. When God, and no other religion in the world talks about this, where God himself has identified with our pain. But that's not the subject right now. We're talking about how we're becoming more and more like him and identifying with him. You know, I've got a real problem with prosperity theology that says that God will heal every hurt, disease, and infirmity in your life. A lot of people, and some of them are brothers and sisters, and I love them a lot, think that it is God's will for all Christians to be prosperous and happy and stuff like that. God does not delight in our suffering, and sometimes he heals in miraculous ways. I know that. However, taking that truth and universalizing it and making it true at every person in every time, every Christian, at every time and in every place, isn't faith, it's presumption. When our first daughter was born, Jennifer, I fainted. When our second daughter was born, I almost killed all three of us on the way to the hospital. When I got to the hospital, doctor looked at me and said, son, the baby's not going to be here for a long time, probably another day or two. Why don't you go home? Well, I went home. You know, I'm the kind of guy that gets the suitcase and jumps in the car and forgets his wife on the way to the hospital. And so I got home, just had climbed into the bed, and the phone rang, and it was the doctor. And he said, Steve, you got a new little baby girl. And I said, Doc, you lied to me. He said, I know, man, but I couldn't deal with her and you at the same time. So so Anna went through pain. And you know how women always say you'll never understand. Well, I understand. I went through it all. When she was sick in the early months, I was sick. Not only that, I've had kidney stones. I cannot forget I said that. Let me tell you something important. If you've never suffered, you don't have the right to offer advice or pass judgment on those who have. You simply don't have the data with which to understand their experience. Jesus bore intense pain, and only when I bear intense pain can I even begin to understand something of his thoughts and his love. A friend of mine went through a horrible bout with cancer. Now, he's now in remission. Suffered greatly at the time. I visited him often and knew he was going through a lot of pain. Then one day I came to his room in the hospital and he had changed radically. He was still suffering, but there was a kind of peace, a radiance about him that I hadn't seen before. And I asked him what he had, and he said, Steve, I was praying last night and telling Jesus that I just couldn't stand it anymore. He spoke to me and said, I know. I've been there. And that's when I realized that it was that in my suffering, I could identify with Christ in a way I had never known before. Jesus and I, can you believe this, are brothers in suffering. And now I can see some things from his perspective. Now, I don't want to be glib about this. You know, when it hurts, it really hurts. I know that. It's hard. And there's a lot of things some of you guys are going through that I've never experienced. But I've had some, and at those points when I've remembered, I've been able to identify with Christ in ways that I haven't been able to do before. When it's really tough and your rope breaks, it's never pleasant. But at that point, you can begin to understand in a deeper way the sacrifice and suffering of Christ. Don't underestimate that gift. It's a gift Paul wrote about when he said, but indeed, this is Philippians 3, 8 and 10, but indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and here it comes, the fellowship of his suffering. All right, let me give you some other good news. There's a sense in which the pain and suffering that you go through is redeeming. Because God loves and values you, your difficulty and pain can be redemptive. God said, or Paul said, God said it, but he used Paul to say it. And this is Colossians 1:24. Paul said a strange thing, and this is what he said. I now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking, it's the microphone, in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now, obviously, Paul is not saying that the death of Christ needs anything to be added to it. It was sufficient. Christ's death is sufficient for the sins of the world. The Bible teaches clearly that salvation is by faith in Christ and his death alone, and that's enough. But the question remains, how could Paul fill up what was lacking in the afflictions of Christ? One scholar, F.F. Bruce, said that the key to the verse is found in the idea of the suffering servant in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah, there is a switching back and forth between the portrayal of the suffering servant as an individual, the Messiah, and the people of God, the chosen nation of Israel. In Colossians, Paul spoke about the suffering of the body of Christ as Christ's continuing redemptive action through believers in the world. Now, the idea of redemptive suffering was evident God's message to Ananias about Paul. After Paul was blinded, you remember, in his encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus, Jesus directed him to go to Ananias. And Ananias was not, and he's a friend of mine, wasn't altogether pleased with the prospect of this heretic who was killing Christians coming for dinner. And he wasn't very happy about it. And so he told God, that's what Christians do. And then Ananias heard this from God, go, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul's willingness to suffer opened the way of salvation to the Gentiles. And I want you to know, yours can open the way for others too. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. But let me say for now, when it hurts really bad, it can be redeeming. You think about that. Amen. Listen, if you don't have our winter magazine, I'd love to send it to you free. I wrote a couple of articles, Our God Reigns and Crosses and Crowns. This is centered around Easter, but it's centered around pain and difficult times and God who reigns. There's a question and answer column. A lot of good stuff. There's some information on our upcoming Lake Barkley Fellowship, and I hope you can come this year. The dramatists, Peculiar People, are going to be there, and we'll all be peculiar people together. It's fun. We'd love to have you a part of it. A lot of good resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. So give us a call. We'll send it to you free. 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day. Or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. They're free. Or the magazine's free. And listen, if you can help us financially, I sure would appreciate it. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include it in your envelope, and we promise we'll be faithful with your gift. For any gift of any size, when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching how to have a New Year's examination. Hey, I got to go, but before I go, I must say Key Life is a production of Key Life Networks.